Our reading today comes from Galatians chapter 5, Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Ali, so much. So we are beginning a little mini-series on the fruits of the Spirit today, and over the next 3 weeks we will be looking at love, peace and joy. So today we're starting with love. So I wonder what you love. Why don't you turn to your neighbour and just say what you love? Oh, lovely, we've got a slide up here. Those of us who are a little older may remember these cartoons that were around in the 70s and 80s. I think they're really cute. So the first one says, love is turning his head. And the second one is, love is someone to scratch the itch you can't reach. Quite like that one, know that feeling. Sometimes use a brush. But love really is an inspiration, isn't it? For has been so down the centuries. And so we have the Taj Mahal that was created by Shah Jahan for his wife, I think as a memorial to her after she died. And that's a pretty big monument to love. It meant something to him. And it's very beautiful for us to look at. And then, of course, love has inspired the arts, the creative arts, down again through the years. And so there's been all sorts of plays and books and stuff. This is Romeo and Juliet. Thought that's kind of the most famous love story, perhaps, from Shakespeare. So there's something about love that just captures our imagination, that we just long for. And whether it's unrequited, misunderstood, doomed, or full blossom, we just love a good story, do we not? So it would be nice to think that we kind of have got a bit of a handle on love, isn't it? How to receive it, how to give it. But of course, we haven't at all. It can be hugely complicated. So there is a whole industry of books. So this one, How to Be the Love You Seek. So if you're kind of not feeling you're getting the love, then you can read this book and maybe it will help you work out what it is that you really want. Love is a Choice, the definitive book on letting go of unhealthy relationships. I have actually read this one and it is really good and it's a bit more cheerful than the title might suggest. But because in reality, we can get twisted up, can't we, about love. And so sometimes we need a little bit of help. And then this five love languages. Does anybody here know and familiar with the five love languages? Yeah, it's a book by Gary Cooper. Really helpful, I think, really insightful. The basis of this is that we kind of often want to love others the way that we would like to receive it. And there are varying ways that we like, love, or want to show it. So in acts of service, so maybe a cup of tea in bed or at any time. Quality time, some people just love, feel the love if you have spent time with somebody. Words of affirmation, maybe just saying, you know, you're great, I love you, it's wonderful. Maybe that's what makes us feel the love. Or physical touch, a hand on the shoulder, a touch of, you know, pat on the head as you pass by. This enables us to feel love. And receiving gifts, well, I guess all of us have a little bit of that in us, don't we? But so there are all sorts of things out there to help us try to come to terms, try to understand love. What could be quite straightforward is clearly quite complicated. It's really difficult to define. And many people have had a go at it. And not least Paul in his letter to Corinthians, where this is such a famous poem, isn't it, that we all kind of know and love. Love is patient, love is kind. I quite often preach on this one at funerals or at weddings. It kind of fits both ends of our lives. Yeah, so how do we define something that is almost has no boundaries? So as we are going to be talking about fruit today, the fruit of love, the fruit of the spirit of love, I just wanted to start with actually just thinking about God's love for us. Because actually, it's quite hard for us to operate in love, to have love flowing out of us, if we haven't got quite a handle on God's love for us. So just to kind of lay the foundation, as it were. And I'm just choosing five characteristics. Obviously, there is a limit to how long you want to be in church today. So I'm just choosing five characteristics of God's love. His love is committed to us. We sang that actually in that last hymn about his faithfulness to us. God is totally committed to loving us. At the beginning of the Bible, in the Genesis narrative, it speaks of how we are created in his image. His breath is in us. We are to partner him in the governance of this world. It talks of total fellowship, friendship, oneness at the very beginning with God and Adam and Eve as they walked together. And even the subsequent brokenness that happened did not alter God's commitment to us. It's documented through Abraham, the whole of the Hebrew Bible, that despite our neglect of him, our misunderstanding, our desert times, our outright times of rebellion, God remained committed to his people, and he does so today. He never gives up seeking the hearts of his people. Jesus embodied that in his lifetime, and the Holy Spirit bears witness to us even today. God is totally committed in his love to his people. God is not just committed, but his love is heartfelt. His love for us is never less than emotional, although it could be so much more. God's love for us was not just a decision made in the upper regions of heaven as a thought, a decision. It's a total emotional desire for us, for our hearts. God's love is totally heartfelt. He knows our name. He knows every hair on our head. Moses describes in Deuteronomy that God set his affection on his people. And I'm reliably told that that word for affection is the same as when some lovers swoon over one another. God swoons over every thought about us. The prophet Zephaniah spoke about the Lord singing with joy over his people, and it conjures up an image, actually, that I've got right in front of me here, of a mother with a little baby. You're not quite singing yet, Crystal, but you know, don't feel free, feel free. But the love that is coming, I can see in Crystal's face as she's holding her baby, is how God is towards us. And Hosea, which is a really quite a strange book in the Old Testament, I don't know if you've read it, but the imagery is one of the Lord is a passionate lover of his people. And Jesus, of course, showed that same love, shown in his tears for Lazarus when he died, or over the city of Jerusalem. His heartfelt love for us took him to the cross. God's love is committed and heartfelt, and it's also present. God's love is present with us, his people. Once it was present in a pillar of fire and cloud, in the tabernacle or temple. But for 2,000 years, we have been celebrating the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God who came to be with us, where Jesus spoke and lived the presence of God with us. And then when Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit came down and he dwells within us, enlightening, transforming, empowering us. And then in Revelation, we have the image of the world to come, the vision of the world to come, where God dwells with his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God presents his love with us. And then it's a love that champions us. God's love always has our back. It's always for us. It's always constantly desiring the best for us, our flourishing, our maturing, our wholeness, to live our best lives, to live free from the dross or our fleshly desires, as Paul put it in that reading. God's love affirms and encourages us to live the lives we were called to. So in the Hebrew Bible, it says, I will be your God and you will be my people. Jesus says, I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. And this love expresses the preciousness of that we are as his children. And he longs to make us realize how much he loves us, patiently holding us through the doubt, ignorance, and mistakes that we make. God's love is committed, heartfelt, present. It champions us. And it has and gives us purpose and direction. This love is not an airy-fairy, aimless love. God's love never occurs in a vacuum. It's always relational. As Abraham was called and blessed, so he and his descendants were called to be a blessing to others. And so we see in the life of Jesus a love that was poured out, always seeking out others. And as believers, we are rooted in this love. As slowly, and sometimes, oh, it is so slow, that we receive and understand by faith what this committed, heartfelt, present, championing in love looks like for us. It gives us purpose and direction. And we're able to, as our understanding increases, so we are able to love others as we are loved. And so, as we understand and receive God's commitment to us, so there are times when we show our commitment to our own brothers and sisters, through good days and bad days, through failings, misunderstandings, disagreements, and dodgy theology, When we remain committed to our brothers and sisters, we show the fruit of love. As we receive God's heartfelt love for us, then we are able to love our brothers and sisters not just as an act of obedience, but from the heart. And when we do this, we show the fruit of love. As we realize God's presence with us, we are able to share our lives with others, to be alongside others who maybe are struggling. We are able to live our lives with others through all the twists and turns as we do this life together, life with God together. And as we do that, we show the fruit of love. When we realize how much God is for us and how he is championing us, we are then able to offer that championing of one another, to look out for one another, seeking justice, holding out a helping hand, speaking words of encouragement. And when we do that, we bear the fruit of love. As we receive God's direction and purpose in our lives, then we are able to share testimony and truth with one another, to offer direction and purpose, encouraging one another to grow in character and faith. And when we do that, we bear the fruit of love. Wonder what you're thinking now. It is such a love, isn't it? This love that we receive from God is as far off from the box office as it is possible to be. Half the time, we don't even realize how much we are loved by God, let alone being able to channel that love to others. As I was preparing this sermon, I just kept having visions of all my failures throughout the years in every one of these five categories, characteristics that I have chosen. And honestly, it wouldn't be edifying for you or for me to hear all of what was in my mind as I was preparing this sermon. We only have to hear or say or read the words, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your might and strength, or love your neighbor as yourself, to realize we fail in this every day, don't we? So many times. And yet what I also was really aware of as I was preparing is that I believe this stuff. I believe that I am loved by God like this. And I am just longing to know more of it. So that, yes, for myself, but also so that I can share with others. Because this is a love that calls us to a different kind of living. This is a love that leads us to a different kind of kingdom. Friends, we can never give up. Despite the gap that we have between what should be and what actually is, let's never give up seeking to understand how much God loves us, how much he is committed to us, and seeking to bear that fruit in other people's lives. I finish with another verse from Paul. That he who began this work in us, this work of sharing his love within our hearts, within our minds, this work of reconciliation, this work of trying to bear fruit to this kind of love, he who began that work in us will carry on to completion. Amen. Amen, Naomi. We'll carry it on to the completion till the day of Christ Jesus. And that, my friends, is the love we have, the love that we are seeking to share, and that's why we can get up every morning. Amen.